Well, good morning, everyone. You know, we've been camping out on Pentecost for quite a while, and I hope you have it in clear in your mind that the Spirit was poured out on every believer at that point, and so all of us have that great gift, which almost none of the Old Testament saints were even aware. And they would see it in a king now and then, and we do have Jesus now after His resurrection breathed on the apostles in John 20:21 and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So I am certain that they received the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't have not been able not to, I don't think. But at this moment, I wanted to go back just before Pentecost now in that 10-day gap between the ascension and the day of Pentecost. And, you know, I don't know whether the disciples would have all put together the fact that the Pentecost was going to happen on the Shavuot, on the Feast of Pentecost, because they had had the Feast of Pentecost every day of their lives, and it was a feast day, but it wasn't a special dispensation of the Holy Spirit day, right?
Right.
Now, Jesus had said that it's good that I go, because when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. But now He is gone for 10 days. Now, at the point we're meeting it today, it's somewhere in that 10-day period. Because it says, after the ascension, they all came back and went into the upper room and prayed.
Yes.
We don't know who they were. It says 120 names. Some even want to argue, well, there weren't any women names in those days. What? Okay, let's listen. So they were back, we'll just say 120, because we know there's 120 there. How many more, we don't know. But we didn't even know who it was. We know Mary and some of the women were there, so they were mentioned by name. But at any rate, we now have a situation where Peter is moved to pray for a replacement for Judas. And you can see how clear that would be in his mind, I would think, because think of the problem that Judas has caused. He's now gone out and hung himself, and his intestines all spilled out, as it says in the scripture. And I'm sure that Peter would have been concerned. We don't want anybody coming into this vacancy that has been caused by Judas's demise, right? We got to get a godly person in there. This is what he does, and this is a decision now. I think we want to take away from it, how do I make decisions? And we will see how Peter was led to move with the group. Now, you got 120 people here, right? It's not like the apostles are all by themselves somewhere, and they're going to decide. So it's 120 people are going to pick a replacement. Now, how do you do that? Well, at that point in time, How did they make decisions? They made decisions with the Urim and the Thurim, with or casting lots. That's the way the decisions were basically made in the Old Testament. And of course, we're in the New Testament now, but we're barely in the New Testament now, because we have the Holy Spirit has not been poured out on everybody yet. So to be led by the Spirit is not quite in place yet, right? But we have the apostles who have the Spirit. So we've kind of got a mixed bag here a little bit. But at any rate, Peter stands in the midst of the 120, apparently. It says, in the midst of the disciples. And of course, we know disciples means followers. The 12 apostles were the 12, a special called. But the disciples, we can just assume they were followers of Jesus, or brethren, or whatever you want to call it. And it says about 120. And then here's what he says, men and brethren. Now, he will later say that, as we had in his sermon on Pentecost in a very short time, men and brethren. But he says, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who were with Jesus, arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now, verses 18 and 19 say that he's no longer with us. And now Peter goes right back to the Word of God. So isn't that good? They've been praying, right? So if we're going to make a decision, we want to be in prayer, right? So they got that box checked off. Now next, we want to be in accordance with the Word of God. So notice how Peter checks that box off. He says, for it is written in the book of Psalms. He's going to quote now from Psalm 69, then from Psalm 109, verse 8. Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live it, and let another take his office. So he's quoting and taking this scripture as prophesying what needs to be done now. So he's got that box checked off, it would seem, does it not? It says, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord went in and went out. Now, we got to pick a replacement who's been with us all the time, who went in and went out with us, somebody who had been to the ascension. We're not just going to go into the outside world and pick a person, right? So it has to be from within this group that has been with us all the time. And it has to be someone who went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us. So that's who the replacement has to come from. So that's a pretty select group, isn't it? I mean, it's not just everybody out there. It's just the ones that had been on the disciple inner circle, so to speak, enough to have been to all these places. And so they proposed too. So, you know, how many meetings have you been in where the group proposes somebody? You know, I recommend John Smith or, you know, whoever it is. Now, you got 120 of them here. And so two names are proposed. It doesn't say who proposed it. It says they, I would say, out of the 120, proposed two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. So they got two now, Barsabbas and Matthias. And now notice what they do, 24. And they prayed. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, can you do better than that? I don't think so. Well, we can do a little better than that because we have the Holy Spirit in us. 120 really didn't yet. Not all of them, anyway. I think that the 12 did, but not the 11, not the others, at any rate. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all. That sounds great. Show which of these two you have chosen. Now, there is a little problem, could be potentially in that they are limiting God here. They're limiting God to the two. And under the context and the circumstances, I don't really find much fault in that with Peter and the group. But for you and for me, when we pray, we want to be careful not to limit God, right? Amen. Because typically what happens with you and with me, we come up with our own recommendation. That's a committee of one. Pretty self-centered, isn't it? So we want to be careful. You know, in the old days, I think maybe some of us, before we were really walking closely with the Lord, every time you had a problem, you had enough sense to know you needed to pray about it. But it would typically take often, at least in my case, I'd come up with two or three or maybe four or maybe five if I'd really been concerned about this problem long enough. And this was possibly this or possibly that or possibly one of these. So I would finally come up with the best one, I thought, and then I would pray, God bless it. Yeah. Well, if that isn't limiting God so totally, that's not the way you want to do it. So when we pray, do all these things. When we make a decision, before we make a decision, we pray. We pray as we're making the decision. And we certainly keep praying after the decision, because sometimes we have to go back and do it again, right? And then we try to test those prayers with Scripture. And we try to pray in accordance with Scripture. So all of these things Peter did, except he does limit it to one of the two. But again, maybe think back to the old Urim and the Thummim days. That would not be an unusual way to pick somebody. Yeah. And they would cast the lots to do that. And so that's what they did here. And more descriptive here of what it's for, to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. So that's pretty thorough, I think. I think they did a good job here, in my opinion. And now they cast lots, verse 26, and they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And we'll have that, as we mentioned before during the Pentecost thing, that when the Pentecost does come, and it says the 11 were there, right? And so he was accepted as one of the 12 at this particular point, it would seem. And the very next verse is where we had started when we got into the Pentecost thing, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now, what does that really mean? What do you mean when it fully come? I think it means that the 50-day period had fully passed, and that was the day of Pentecost. And of course, that's the day of Shavuot, which is the Jewish Pentecost feast, which has been one of the seven feasts all along. So they were very familiar with that particular day. But this was a special day, because this is the day that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out, as we mentioned. That would have been on so many, many people would have been there on that day. So if you want to get the word out, God in his marvelous wisdom, perfect timing, would get, you know, a million or two, a million people there again to be eyewitnesses of this day, right? So they're from all over the world. So how do you get the word out? You didn't have the technology we have today. But if you got everybody there and they all went back home, that's a good way to get the word out, isn't it? So a lot of great things happening here. So how do we pray? Well, we pray in accordance with the Holy Spirit now, you and I, because we have the Holy Spirit as in us and leading us. And we have that beautiful extra component that most of the 120 didn't have at that point. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, because it was not Pentecost yet, right? So I think we should get a little bit of greater view of Pentecost and how great that is, even as we look at this prayer here, that how it changed in that next few day period, because they're in a 10-day window there between the Ascension and Pentecost. That's what we're talking about here. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, and we can visualize some of this, we can visualize all of it, but we know that you have put the Holy Spirit in each and every believer, and we have that access to you to ask you to guide us and lead us in prayer. And that is something we want to do each time we gather together here on Saturday morning, something we want to do every time we pray. But certainly as we pray here as a group, we would want to do this as well. We could all pray at one time and you would hear us all, but then none of us could really agree with the other one's prayers, because it would be kind of noisy and kind of 15 things happening at the same time. So we'll just do it one at a time. But guide us and lead us now as we would pray as you would have us to pray. Put those things on our heart that we should bring to you at this time, in Jesus' name. Father, as we come to the end of the hour, I just want to make sure we praise you. We've lifted up a lot of problems and all of that, and they're going to be there, no question. But we thank you for the victory that you've already won, for everyone who turns to you. Lord, we know good leaders are great, but we see the good leaders in Israel over and over. The hearts of the people would not turn, and even in the face of the good leadership, God was promising judgment because the nation, and we see it over and over and over again, and this nation is lost, Lord. We can forestall the government, possibly, of the judgment coming, I don't know. But whether that happens or not, the main thing that we need to do is to get the word out. And we've talked about all of the problems, yes, but any nation who does not follow the Lord is going to be overcome by problems. And we can fight the darkness on all the borders, but it's not going to help sustain unless we turn to you. And that's the church. May the church rise up, stand up. And I just want to close with this Spirit song, as we have been in Pentecost and we see the great gift that you have given each of us. And so I think this hymn here has been written with that in mind, of Jesus saying even to his disciples, as he would breathe on them, receive the Holy Spirit. So let's sing. Father, we thank you for breathing on us.
Yes.
We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You have not left us orphans. We have you in each heart that is here and in every believer's heart, Lord. So, Lord, help us to redeem today, and if you give us tomorrow, tomorrow as well. We thank you for meeting us here this morning. We thank you for these prayers. You've heard them. And we know that when we pray, you dear hear us. So thank you. May we be praising you and honoring you with our hearts, Lord, thanking you for what you have given us. You've given us eternal life. And I do pray that Christians would vote. But in one way, it doesn't matter who's in that office. Your will is going to be done. Your purposes are going to be performed. Sin is going to be done away with. Judgment is coming on the whole world. That's all happening. We don't have to try to remind you. But help us to remind you to wake us up. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.